Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Mike Shope.
Name any word in less than a second. I will tell you how many letters are in it. But I cannot do anything mechanically. I don't even know how to put a game together for three-year-olds.
And the Bulldog.
Fool me once. Shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Fun times. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Join now on the Western Hotline by Eric Wood. Eric, how's life?
Life is good. How's life for you?
Pretty good, you know. How is what's your school situation? Where you live, is it are the kids in school? Because one thing for me, Bulldog is way too old for this, but one thing for me is, like, that is the biggest challenge in life right now is, you know, when the kids need us to be teachers.
Right. Now, our kids are 5 and 2, and they both go to the same school. Garrett, our youngest, is in kind of a Parents Day Out program, and Grace is in preschool, and they are in session right now. Knock on wood, fingers crossed that that stays intact. I think they're doing a pretty good job there. They've limited the class sizes and all that, but everything's been going pretty smooth with that. But our kids needed it so bad. I'm sure you guys are in the same boat up there. But, you know, when these kids don't have interaction for so long and they're stuck in the house, it's tough on them.
And you're in Louisville, and there's been a lot going on politically in Louisville. Has that affected sort of your day-to-day?
Not necessarily my day-to-day, other than, you know, for the last couple months, we've pretty much avoided going downtown. There's been constant protests. It's a pretty dangerous situation. But, you know, it's obviously a complicated situation. It's a really tough time for our city, though. It's been portrayed terribly over these last few months, and you know, it's a hard time for people on both ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Well, Eric, to this game, I will often think, you know, like, you're coming on for years. It'd be like, what is the most – what do you want to ask Eric Wood about this game? And acknowledging here, before I get to this question, all the amazing feats that are happening with this offense, I want to ask you about Aaron Donald. And the story he became in this game as the Rams turned up the pressure, they make this comeback. What are a couple of things you were thinking watching that?
Well, one, the first sack that he made, he was unblocked on a play-action screen, which I wouldn't advise not blocking him. I think there was miscommunication up front. But it drove me nuts because I'm watching the game on my couch with my laptop open with WGR on, listening to Murph and Tasker. I got the game on the TV. I'm tracking social media on my phone, looking for talking points for the post game and whatnot. And all of a sudden, all the NFL media outlets are all posted, oh my gosh, Aaron Donald's taking over the game now. He was unblocked in that play. And then the one, so essentially I give him one sack, a forced fumble and a fumble recovery. I was on One Bills Live earlier. I had texted Steve and Chris the rule that there is no horse collar inside the pocket on the quarterback. But I see where all the frustration was on that play. But so anyways, the Bills really handled Aaron Donald extremely well until they got an obvious pass rush situation in the second half. That's how it is with a lot of really elite pass rushers. When it's go time, even if you slide the center to them and do everything else you're trying to do, when it's obvious pass situations, those guys can make plays. And that's where the Bills got in the second half, a lot more than the first half. But I thought their game plan in handling them early was they ran some screens. They got the run game going a little bit more early than they had in previous weeks. They moved the pocket. The first long pass to Gabe Davis, the 39-yarder, their biggest play of the game, that was a play-action bootleg. I thought Brian Daboll just did a great job of mixing it up, and that anytime there was no pressure, if you go back and watch the film, Mitch Morse was sliding to Aaron Donald, which I think all offenses should do.
Would you advise not being too hard on interior linemen who maybe had a tough time with Aaron Donald, given his reputation, Eric?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's very, very tough to block one-on-one, and he's probably the best defensive player in football. So yes, I would definitely give a pass. I don't know if it was going to get brought up on the show today, but interesting that the Bills started Brian Winters at right guard, flipped Cody Ford to the left side, which it seems so easy to flip sides of the offensive line, but I promise you it's not that easy. You're so used to getting in the same stance over and over and over, using one hand as your outside punch hand, whatever it may be. To flip, that's not that easy, and I thought the guards played really well yesterday, all things considered, and I would assume this is the lineup moving forward to this week as well.
Did you see something coming? I don't want to get too bogged down on this this early on, but did you see something coming with Quentin Spain? Because that caught a lot of people by surprise, I think, that he was suddenly benched.
No, I don't think I saw anything egregious, but, to me, Sean McDermott is always evaluating. I only played for him for one season, but in the one season I did play for him, John Miller started the season two games in, benches him for Vlad Dukas. We didn't start the season bad. I think we were 2-0 at the time. But Sean McDermott decided, hey, we're not satisfied with where we're at offensively with the offensive line, whatever it may be. He's always evaluating. And sometimes that bites you when you start Peterman at L.A. against the Chargers. But he is always evaluating, and this just shows it that he's willing to do what it takes. It also shows that in a time in the NFL where there's so many teams in the league that are struggling to find five quality offensive linemen to even start, the Bills have an absolute luxury. Maybe their best offensive lineman, in my opinion, or most effective on a week-to-week basis, John Feliciano, he won't even be back till Week 7, I believe. And maybe they're moving forward to left guard now to get him used to that, and then they plug Feliciano back in at his right guard spot. I don't know, but Feliciano is going to be an asset as well. The Bills have just stockpiled so many great offensive linemen. What a recovery it was for them in the front office based upon the unfortunate circumstances of the 2018 O-line with me and Richie and Cordy being gone, that they've been able to rebound like this.
And I'm thinking of the name Wyatt Teller, who they traded, and he was, I think, PFF's top-graded guard or even lineman over the beginning of the season for Cleveland. So, talent evaluation, a big part of this success. And it's everywhere, Eric. Maybe this is not an answerable question, but you look at this offense, and so many things about it impress. Who's on the field? The play calling, you mentioned screens, that's a big part of it. Allen's running, not even a story the last 2 weeks, but we know what that is. And of course, his passing yards are off the charts. Receivers getting open. Is there an element to it that you sort of want to say is the most important, or maybe just tell us that you're focused on? Of course, the line, we've talked about that already. That's a part of this too. What is maybe the most impressive or important element of all this?
Yeah, now that they've established an offensive line, and I think they did that last year, that was probably the thing people were most they were worried about last year. Could Josh Allen get the time for us to even evaluate him this year? Because I didn't think you really could in 2018. Well, then last year he gets the offensive line. This year what sticks out to me is they just have so many weapons. And they did a great job, and they draft a guy like Gabe Davis, who's a little bit different than their other guys. He's 6'4", bigger body, and then what they have at the receiving core with John Brown, Cole Beasley, and Stephon Diggs, with three guys that can just flat out separate. They did a great job in drafting Devin Singletary. Moss seems to be effective when he's in there. Their tight end position, they're down their starting tight end. Tyler Croft has two touchdowns. Lee Smith, shout out, one play, one touchdown, pretty awesome.
Thank you.
But they just have so many weapons offensively, and Josh Allen's proven that at this point of his career, he can distribute. So they're able to be so multiple. And Shope, I know you've been wanting this for years, but the Bills are now fourth in the NFL in passing the ball on first down. And it just shows that there's a shift in their philosophy now, and a lot of that comes from trust from the quarterback position, having enough weapons, having guys you trust to get open as well on the outside, guys up front that you trust to pass block on first down because you don't think you're going to end up in second and 18. It's an incredible transformation these last 3 years with Brian Daboll and Josh Allen as quarterback.
Yeah, I think we had to wonder sometimes, Eric, you know, during your career and even after, really, because you mentioned you were only on the team for 1 year with McDermott and Bean at the helm, a lot of what they sounded like was pretty conservative defense, run and stop the run, bad weather, you know, you got to be cognizant of that, blue collar, tough, all this sort of stuff.
Right.
These are all buzzwords that to me are synonymous with not being an effective passing team. You know, we've lived through it here for almost 20 years, and I'm just so pleased that they recognized that they had to get there. And maybe Allen being trusted is the key piece to all that, because maybe you wouldn't be doing this if you didn't trust him to run that kind of an offense. But you had to try at some point, and they're doing it, and they're getting paid off.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think the big part is the trust factor. And I think when you're being a McDermott and you're talking about what you have at your disposal is, yes, when we had Tyrod as our quarterback, we were going to be a little bit more ground and pound. He's a mobile quarterback. You're going to run him a good amount. Our offensive line was good at the time. We had Shady in the backfield. You know, you're thinking, hey, this is probably a ground and pound look of a team. We came off leading the league in rushing 2 years in a row under Greg Roman and then Anthony Lynn taking over as offensive coordinator. So that's the asset that you inherited. Well, it's amazing what they've done to add enough pieces to also be this now passing juggernaut through 3 weeks of the season. And to me, eventually, yes, there are going to be bad weather games. There's going to be 40-mile-an-hour-per-wind wind games at Buffalo. And to me, I think they're fit for that still because their offensive line is good and you have two good running backs in Moss and Singletary. So you could play that style of football, but I think to win in this league consistently, you're going to have to be able to throw the ball effectively. And Josh Allen's proven through 3 weeks he can do it. He remains undefeated when he completes 60% or better passes as well, starting with the 2019 season.
With Eric Wood, you know, this run versus pass thing is endlessly fascinating to me, and here we are watching a Bills team live this new kind of life. Part of the run and stop the run, ground and pound, sort of the traditional kind of talking about football, Eric, I would say for the most part, you hear it from or have heard it over the years from coaches and players. In fact, like, you know, talking to you or just listening to players over the years, when a team can run on somebody, it seems like they think there's greater value in that than just the yards they're getting, right? So do you have, like, your opinion or from talking to players, are players changing? Not that that last point isn't necessarily how they think, but are players recognizing, if you will, this new style in the league, this new trend in the league where teams are throwing it as often?
Yeah, I mean, I think when they switch the rules where you can't contact the receivers within 5 yards, that opened up the passing game a lot. And then to me, yes, it's always going to be more demoralizing for a defense when you get the ball run down your throat. It always will be. But in this league, you know, and when I say balance, I say you need to have some type of balance. When I say balance, I think in today's NFL, you need to have a good yards per carry average. That will keep the defense honest. And I'm not just saying all this because – the Bills are passing the ball more now. You know, you can have a great running offense and win a Super Bowl like the Seahawks did, but, man, you have to be great defensively in every game or else you're not going to be able to outscore the other team. I think the way the Bills are built right now is in weeks where maybe the linebackers are dinged up or you have a bad day on defense, the Bills can now outscore people, which is something we could not do when we were a run-first team, I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I don't want to just ignore defense. I think the Bills still have good players and a good scheme over there. I think you're just going to have days where it goes that way. Like I'll still anticipate that maybe having a good defense might not mean you're in the top five in this category, that category, but you've got enough talent that when a game is on the line, maybe you can count on a guy to make an interception like Trey White or a big QB pressure or whatever it is that I've got. You know, players at my disposal that are well coached that are still going to be able to make a difference. It just might be a little harder to find those differences.
Yeah, and I don't want to discredit the Bills' defense three games in either. You know, they Milano and Edmonds both get dinged up and miss week two, and Fitzpatrick takes advantage of that. Fitz proved against the Jaguars and that he can light up a defense. Given the opportunity, Levi Wallace got picked on a little bit in that game as well. And then he bounces back with an interception this week. You know, I don't want to discredit this defense. I think this defense is going to be good throughout the season. Similar to last year, though, when you have some different personnel, when you don't have Star Lotulelei up front, you have a few different pieces. Maybe it takes you a minute to get going. Man, I thought it's a little nuanced and probably something only a nerd like me would really appreciate. But I've been waiting for the Bills to bust out their double A-gap package defensively. They haven't needed it a whole lot this year, but it's when they put Milano and Edmonds or their two linebackers in the middle of the defense on third down and four D linemen around them. And they had a perfect scheme yesterday, and I'll give a shout-out to him. Aaron Cromer, my old offensive line coach in Buffalo, is with the Rams now, and they picked up a phenomenal scheme by Sean McDermott. I'll have to give credit to them. But, man, I was thinking that one was going to hit home yesterday. And that was a drive that they eventually scored on. That would have wiped out some points if that one lands. But I say all that. I think the Bills are going to be just fine defensively this year.
The Raiders are a team where they might need their running game to be effective the most of any team the Bills have played so far. There's a lot of Josh Jacobs in that offense. He didn't have a great day yesterday. He was hurt a little bit. What do you think of them? Incognito is there. I think he's hurt. Do you feel like
he's hurt.
Do you feel like they're pretty good, or what are the Raiders to you?
Yeah, I think they're good. I think they're a couple years away from being really, really good. But I think they're a quality football team right now. I think defensively they can get exposed a little bit. And then offensively, they have a good, big offensive line. Richie will be out. They did put him on short-term IR, I guess. So he has two more weeks, I think he was telling me. I was texting with him this morning. But, I think they're good. It's funny, though. The identity of their offense is probably running the football in that offensive line. And when you think John Gruden offense, you think West Coast, get rid of the ball fast, three-step drop, bunch of completions, an accurate quarterback. And Derek Carr can do those things, but it seemed that early in Gruden's tenure in Oakland, he's liked running the football behind that big offensive line.
Right. I think he had an Achilles injury, Incognito, so he's out. Darren Waller had a quiet game yesterday, too. That was the thing we talked about last week with the Rams, was Higbee after Gesicki had the big game, Miami tight end. But Higbee was not a big factor yesterday either. All right, Bulldog, you got one more? I'm thinking about something, but it's kind of silly.
Well, I don't know. Vegas is a little silly, but, like, you know, no fans. But first trip to Vegas is probably a pretty cool – well, normally would be a pretty cool trip. I guess the state of things kind of undoes it here, Eric, but it would be a pretty memorable trip, I would think, for players to go play in the NFL in Vegas.
Yeah, for sure. You're checking out a new stadium and all that. For the players, this would probably be just another city, you know what I mean? It's actually, you know, for an inconvenience heading west and all that. It would be a ton of fun for the players. It would have been a ton of fun for the radio color guy if he was able to go and even actually able to call the games this year, because me and my wife actually had a plane ticket booked for out there. We were going to meet up in the desert and spend a few days out there. But, hey, there's bigger problems for other people out there in 2020. That's what I always try and keep in mind when something gets canceled like that. But one of the things I will ask Sean McDermott this week on the coaches show is, how much easier is it to bring a team to Las Vegas when you're essentially traveling in a bubble as opposed to a normal year? You know, I guess, what is it going to be? Well, they're AFC, so we could play them out there kind of anytime, but it'd be another 7 years before we'd play them out there again scheduling wise. But I'd assume he's got to feel more at peace this year, knowing nobody can leave the hotel or even eat a meal outside of the hotel.
I wonder if he's been to Las Vegas.
I don't know. That's a good question. I might ask him that too. I'd imagine at some point he had to have been, but he doesn't seem like the gambling, drinking, whatever else you do in Vegas type.
Not to me either. All right, Eric. Nice job as always. Any questions for us?
I don't. I had one last week and you guys didn't ask, and then I didn't have one for this week. Wow. So I'll come more prepared.
Anytime, just text us and we'll get it read.
All right, good deal. I appreciate that.
And answered. Thanks, Eric.
Yep, thank you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, Eric Wood's appearance with us here on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you, by Jim's Steakout, Western New York's best steak hoagies since 1981, and by Leah Honda. You'll love the deals at Leah.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.